There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
We are rolling, so whenever you're ready.
There is an American team on the grid.
Technically, yes. And it is Haas.
Okay. That's not the name I was expecting to hear when I heard American.
You were hoping Williams.
No, I don't even know what I was thinking. I was hoping Go USA. Or like, you know,
America, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, team military.
America.
Team independence coming your way.
We have reached the 10th and final team of this.
The pinnacle
of
the pod.
More like bottom of the barrel.
Yep. But I like the spirit because we're going to need it with this team.
Okay.
Anyway, the word I would say to best describe Haas is chaos.
Okay.
They have got chaotic drivers. They've got a chaotic team principal, a chaotic owner, and then also very, very chaotic sponsors.
Okay.
If the office and Parks and Rec need like a third or another version of a workplace mockumentary, this is the team to do it.
Tough to consistently win if the one word associated with your team is chaos.
Yes.
That's just too hard. It's just too, you need stability.
Which these guys do not have. So today on Choosing Sides F1, we are diving into the history of the only American-owned team on the grid, Haas.
Come on!
Very, very American, and yet also very not. From iHeartRadio and Sports Illustrated Studios, this is
Choosing Sides F1.
So let's dive in.
Great.
Our story begins with a man named Gene Haas.
Mm.
By normal people standards, he is a very wealthy man.
Mm-hmm.
By Formula One standards, Lawrence Stroll, a.k.a. Daddy Stroll, his net worth is around $3 billion, according to Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Haas's is only around $250 to $300 million.
Million.
Only a millionaire.
I mean, come on, dude.
He should quit while he's, you know.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work out for him with his only $300 million. He is not involved with the, you know, well-known avocado outfit, Haas.
Right.
He is known for basically making machines that make machines, is how I'd best put it. Yes. So into machinery. He is also a massive car guy, just in general, and into motorsports. So he has sponsored other teams over the years, most notably NASCAR.
Gene Haas's vibe is the guy who is kind of in the background. Like, he doesn't make a lot of noise, but he's always there.
He's like the mastermind. He plants a seed and then lets it grow.
The people you're hearing from are Alanis King and Elizabeth Blackstock. They're both motorsports journalists and co-authors of the book Racing with Rich Energy, How a Rogue Sponsor Took Formula One for a Ride.
Gene Haas is just watching from afar and you don't want to like make him upset.
Is he an American, Gene Haas?
Gene Haas is American.
Okay.
They have a NASCAR team and a long legacy of actually like taking part in sports. So it makes sense that Haas would kind of take it to a much larger stage.
So basically, back in 2014, Gene Haas and some partners announced that they're going to create a Formula One team. Starting with the chaos, it was supposed to launch in 2015, but gets delayed to 2016, which does happen with new teams and funding and logistics resources, etc. Before all of that even happens, though, a very fun fact about Gene. In 2006, he was arrested for filing false tax returns, witness
Christ.
Intimidation, and conspiracy.
We are off to a great start.
He later pleaded guilty for felony conspiracy to commit tax evasion.
Okay.
He was sentenced to 2 years in prison. He served 16 months in prison and then had to pay $75 million in restitution.
Whoa.
So that's our guy, Gene.
Whoa.
Chaos to begin.
That's a rough start. But, you know, some of what I'm liking about all of this is if this podcast can shed some light that rich people do some shady shit. I think sometimes in America we think he's got money. He knows what he's doing. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes. And sometimes they do illegal shit to get money. Yeah.
And to get even more money.
To get even more money.
And they all work together in cahoots.
You don't want witness intimidation on your on your resume.
Also, I just love when it's like conspiracy and that's the charge. It's like, what did you conspire? It's just, it's almost more ominous when there's nothing attached to it. Just conspiracy. So.
Also, a guy who's got that much money and that many lawyers, like, that he probably did a good job fighting the case and he still served 15 months and had to pay $75 million.
Yeah, like, you had to be pretty fucked if that was the negotiation you got after.
Gene Haas. Okay.
So, of course, that never gets mentioned in Formula One, but like very funny that F1 breezes over. I mean, we talked about Force India with Aston Martin and that guy being wanted in like multiple countries. And like by comparison, this is very quaint.
It's cute.
Yeah.
But Formula One does have this problem and needs so much money that it's going to get some shady characters.
Well, that's actually a perfect segue into literally the rest of this episode.
That's what I'm doing here.
Mazel tov. So Haas, from the very beginning, has always struggled financially. Mm. And the team, almost, I wouldn't say identically to Williams, but similarly to Williams, has gained this reputation of being scrappy and tiny. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, at one point, just to give an example of how much smaller they are than some of the other teams, Haas, back in like 2018-ish, Gunther mentioned they had about 230 employees for Haas's F1 team. By comparison, Mercedes' F1 team around the same time had 1,000 more people than Haas.
Wow.
Yeah, just for F1.
If you say the two magic words, Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes, you know that's a successful combination, so you will be more likely to throw money at that pairing. Something like Haas doesn't have that. They tried to do things on as much of a budget as they possibly could.
A big part of when their team launched is they sort of marketed this scrappiness as, hey, we're going to buy a hodgepodge of parts and power units and all this stuff from different teams. But in doing so, we're showing how Formula One teams can be started for less money and hopefully diversify the grid from that perspective. And so, you know, you no longer need to be a Mercedes or, you know, a Ferrari to get on the grid. You can be like us.
Right.
So next, we can't really talk about Haas without talking about all of the issues they've had with sponsors over a very extended period of time. Obviously, a lot of teams need sponsors. a lot of times the worse off teams are doing, the more desperate they get mm-hmm. with who they ask for sponsorship. We do know, obviously, talking about Williams, that everything's getting eaten up by larger and larger private equity firms and mm-hmm. corporations and whatnot, mm-hmm. especially as the sport gets more expensive every year. The first sponsor we're going to talk about is a sketchy energy drink company called Rich Energy.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to assume you have never seen, had, or heard of Rich Energy.
I thought it was like rich, money-infused, energy, like a power unit, energy. I was wrong.
You were wrong, but it was bound to happen at some point in this podcast.
The last episode, I'm wrong. So Rich Energy is a energy drink.
Hypothetically, it is an energy drink.
Oh, I love
drink.
It already.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so it's the end of 2018. We're heading into the 2019 season. Haas has had a couple of years on the grid.
2018 was the Haas F1 team's most successful year by far. They finished fifth in the team standings, fifth of 10. That's a big deal.
For a team that's only been around for a couple of years, it's very impressive.
It's good.
Yeah, and they have less money than everyone else. They've got fewer personnel, so it's looking great.
And then everything kind of went downhill from there.
So as always, like I said, Haas is always needing more money. That's always the case for them. They start obviously looking for sponsors and other people who can give them a little bit of a leg up financially. And all of a sudden, a man named William Story comes in and he says, I am the founder and businessman behind this successful energy drink company called Rich Energy. And everyone's like, that is great. Okay. You know, Rich Energy, William Story. Excellent.
Rich Energy was a sponsor for boxers, for some smaller, lower tier racing athletes, especially in motorcycle racing. So it looked on its face to be a legitimate company, and especially one that was promoting itself as a luxury energy drink, something that you wouldn't find in a gas station, something that you would find in a nightclub, which I think is a very appealing look and a very appealing draw for the very elite levels of Formula One.
And of course, William Story has like some long scraggly beard and just looks like a weird dude. Like.
Right.
Already getting weird dude vibes off the bat.
Right.
So
we are here for the unveiling of the Rich Energy Haas F1 Formula One team livery.
Haas does their big debut of their 2019 car.
A brand new black and gold livery. Wow, that looks pretty tasty.
They unveiled this car that was a really beautiful car. It looked great.
This gold antler logo. It's the Rich Energy logo. William Story has pledged millions of pounds/dollars to the team.
William, what does it mean to now be title sponsor of the Haas F1 team?
We're absolutely delighted. But we think that Haas are, you know, absolutely our favorite team on the grid. They're brilliant people. And they're the perfect partner for Rich Energy as we move forward to take Red Bull, challenge Red Bull on and off the track.
It made a big, big statement. So everybody starts Googling.
Fans very quickly are like, who the fuck is Rich Energy and William Story? Is this some weird niche? Like, it's only available in a couple countries. Like, what's the deal with this?
Yeah.
One New Year, they posted a photo of a pool and they said a New Year's swim with Rich Energy. And the pool had a Rich Energy logo on the bottom of it. The image of the pool was actually taken from the internet and the logo was photoshopped in.
Fans also start saying, like, well, where can we buy it? And they very quickly find it's almost impossible to buy.
Pretty simple question.
Yeah.
Where can I buy this product?
I mean, even in my newsletter, if this had been announced when my newsletter was around, I would have tried to go out and buy Rich Energy to, like, rank the different energy drinks that sponsor F1 teams. Like, that's a very
Rich
easy jump.
Energy is just a great...
It's, like, almost like some guy was like, okay, I am poor and need to make this sound richer.
Yeah.
I've got an idea. Rich Energy.
I already love Haas. I think they're in my top three. This is awesome. This is great comedy/entertainment.
I told you, this is an episode of Parks and Rec, like,
yeah,
waiting
totally,
to happen, or
totally.
The Office. Yeah, like, you could see Michael Scott being like, I've got a new sponsor for The Office. It's going to be, So we have Rich Energy, and fans, so these aren't even people within motorsports only who are doing this.
Right.
So journalists are obviously looking into it, but fans are looking this up, and it's all over Twitter. Obviously, a lot of company records are just publicly available.
Right.
Normally, you would expect a team to be looking at the financial records of these companies to establish that there's legitimate products. You know, you can sell this somewhere, you can find this product somewhere. And that was part of what made Rich Energy so perplexing, was that the financials that were available were not great. They had under $1,000 in the bank at the time that the deal was signed. Those were the most recent financial records. No one really had any idea where to buy it unless you bought it online. It was a mystery, and I think it will probably remain a mystery.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
This is just shady or money laundering or something.
Yeah. More and more evidence piles up as the season begins that William's story is not who he claims to be and that his company is not what he says it is. Mm. So, and on top of that, the Haas team is not doing well on the racetrack. They don't have a great car. So the whole thing is just a magnificent implosion.
Yeah.
William's story then announces on Twitter, without telling anyone,
he's terminating the deal with the Haas team due to poor performance and the PC attitude of F1.
Oh, sure.
Because that's F1 is the pinnacle of political correctness. When I think, you know, woke people, I think Formula One race car driving.
Then the Haas team responds and says, no, we did not have a performance clause in the contract. The contract is still together. We are still the Rich Energy Haas F1 team. And then a few weeks later, Haas terminates the partnership on its end.
It just makes a mockery of the team.
It also just ties up all their resources into something totally dumb.
And also all of the press, right?
Yeah.
No one cares about how they're racing. They care about this absurd scandal. Yeah.
Then Haas ran just black and gold blank cars for the rest of the season before going into 2020 and changing the livery.
It really becomes the scandal that launches 1,000 memes, right? There's still to this day, years later, endless mockery of this whole situation.
Well, maybe Gene Haas should do a little Googling before he accepts some sponsorship money.
This was like the single question we struggled to find an answer to, because no one was willing to speak about why Haas took on Rich Energy. No one was willing to tell us what that vetting process looked like. Haas repeatedly said that they did their due diligence in vetting Rich Energy as a sponsor, but wouldn't describe exactly what that meant.
Haas is an interesting organization in that it's very small, and there's a lot of loyalty both to Haas Automotive and to the team principal we'll talk about, Gunther Steiner.
Right.
So it's to this day not clear who was in charge of finding and vetting Rich Energy. We still don't know.
Rich Energy.
Yeah. We still don't know who is in charge of, you know, signing on the dotted line.
Right.
We don't know how much Gunther or Gene Haas really knew. And then we never really know. Mm. William's story has also since then tried to tease, quote unquote, coming back to Formula One.
Right.
Obviously, it's a bunch of bullshit, but
I want to see what he looks like.
I'm
going to Google him real
quick.
Storey. Are you kidding me with this guy? I mean, this is straight out of Lord of the Rings.
Put on a camo hat and he's ready to go hunting.
Absolutely. Rich Energy. That should be like my rap name.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if you ever want a real deep cut,
yeah.
in the Formula One world, I say go for it.
Yeah.
You would think that after this whole very public humiliating debacle, that Haas would learn its lesson.
Yeah.
And find better sponsors that were less controversial and weird and just less ill-received.
Right.
You would be wrong.
I would be wrong.
Yes. So so this, like we said, is beginning of the 2019 season. We skip ahead to the end of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in the pandemic at this point. This is, like I said, relatively recent. So Haas, again, starred for cash because nothing, what else is new? And so Haas announces that they are going to be working with a Russian chemical fertilizer company called Uralkali.
I mean, the first two words of that, Russian fertilizer, would tell me to back off.
Yeah, you can see where this is going.
Oh, gosh.
So this company is headed up by a Russian oligarch who is besties with Vladimir Putin.
Of course.
Named Dmitry Mazepin.
Okay.
And so why does Dmitry Mazepin want a sudden, you know, sponsorship on the F1 grid?
Because he wants his son to race.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding.
I've learned something.
So Dmitry has a son named Nikita.
Okay.
Nikita had actually previously, a couple years prior, been banned for a bit from racing in the junior formulas because he punched a competitor after a race. To give you just an idea of his vibe.
Right.
So Nikita really wants to get an F1. He's not really good enough to do it on his own merit or through other means. So good old dad helps him do that. And on top of Nikita already being known as, a not good driver who's then very angry and takes out in not great ways, he also, right before the season starts, this is December of 2020, he posts a video of him essentially groping a woman's chest like a friend. And that, for understandable reasons, does not go over well with the fan base. People are really angry at Haas.
Right.
Gunther Steiner, the team principal, has to issue this weird, vague statement because they don't really know what to do and they need his dad's money.
There is no news and we don't want any news out of it. We will deal internally. We are dealing internally, not we will. And that's the only thing I want to say. I mean, we take this serious, what happened, and we will deal with it, you know. So I don't want to go into any comments about the damage and things like this. I just want to say, trust us, we will deal with it.
What about managing him going forward? Are you concerned about that?
No, that's really part in dealing with it.
This makes me think that Haas is so tight-lipped and loyal, not because there's some scrappy, intelligent, competitive team, but because they are shady motherfuckers.
So these are just the things we know, which is already bad. We don't even know how deep this goes or what exactly transpired internally.
Right.
But so like any good billionaire father, Daddy Mazepin says, I'll give you all this money, millions and millions of dollars, if my son gets one of these seats going into 2021.
He does get a seat.
Not only does he get a seat, but you remember that kid I said he punched after a race?
Yeah.
This guy, Callum Ilott, is sort of, for his class, considered the guy who was meant to drive an F1 and didn't get a seat.
Right.
Nikita Mazepin gets a seat.
Oh, that would just drive me insane. Yeah. How is Haas as a racing team? Besides all this sponsorship nefarious activity, can they race?
Oh, yes. We haven't even gotten to the racing yet in the midst of everything else. We'll get right back into the chaos after the break.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
So Haas, long story short, not really. They're not really good. Haas starts off in F1 in 2016. Their first two seasons are understandably rocky. I mean, we've seen this a million times with almost every other brand new team to the grid. However, 2018, they have this big breakout year. They finish P5. So they're excited because they think, oh, we're comfortably in the midfield, for a third-year team. That's great.
Right.
A lot of teams would be super stoked if on their third year they were just sitting there. Yeah. Yep. At some point, we're also competing for the P4 spot mm-hmm. on the standings. Mm-hmm. So things are looking great. Since then, though, it has been an endless struggle bus for Haas. So 2019, like I said, in addition to the sponsorship issues, their car is not great. Their 2020 car isn't good.
Right.
And then to make matters even worse.
Fuck. This was a big one. This was a big one. Is he okay?
At the end of 2020, one of the last races of the season, one of their drivers, Romain Grosjean, who now is an IndyCar, Roman has a massive crash at the start of the race where his car literally splits in two in a giant fireball.
Oh, no.
All my muscle relaxes. Almost not have a smile, but in peace with myself, thinking I will die. And then I thought, which part's going to burn first? Is it the foot? Is it the hands? Is it going to be painful? And then thought about my kids and I said, no.
They think for several minutes he's dead.
Oh, no.
And then he comes like jumping out of this like a literal fire. It is completely on fire. People are trying to put it out.
Wow.
I can feel the pain and the burn, but I'm going up.
Somehow, miraculously, only ends up with some scarring and issues on his hands.
Jeez.
Yeah. So.
Shouldn't have put that Russian fertilizer in the trunk.
It wasn't there yet, but but at this point, Roman and the other driver, Kevin Magnussen, who we know comes back, they knew they were kind of on their way out already. So, So Romain Grosjean, who had a very long and interesting F1 career, ends it with this gigantic fiery explosion.
Scary.
Yeah, scary. And just, again, caps off another not great thing to happen to this team.
And it brings you back to... Hey, it's funny, William Story, Rich Energy, Russian Fertile, it's all funny, but it's like when things go awry, people can die.
Yeah.
And that's the tagline. But the stakes are high.
Romain Grosjean now calls himself the Phoenix and like rising from the ashes.
And let me guess, this experience only made him love racing more.
Oh, it did. He went over to IndyCar.
They're all fucking insane. You keep mentioning Gunther. Who is this Gunther?
Yeah, so Gunther Steiner, from a name like that, what country do you think he's from?
Germany or Austria?
He is from Italy.
Oh, shit.
But he is used to everyone thinking he's German. He talks about this constantly. Yeah, okay. It is part of his personality to mention to everyone that he is Italian.
Everyone I know who's Italian, every sentence begins with, I'm Italian.
Yes.
Even my friends who live in Michigan that are like seven generations removed from Italy.
They want you to know. They know how to make pasta.
Yeah,
so.
And they don't, actually. That's funny.
So Gunther gets a start way back when as a mechanic working in the Rally Motorsport series, kind of works his way through a bunch of different motorsport series and whatnot. But he eventually ends up in the early 2000s at an F1 team called Jaguar. Jaguar eventually gets sold to Red Bull. In the mid-2000s. That's the team the Red Bull team takes over and rebrands. So Gunther Steiner is with Red Bull for a little bit, but it becomes very clear he's not vibing with them. He's not meshing with them.
Right.
He's not doing well. So he takes a couple of years off after serving as their technical director. And eventually he founds his own manufacturing company over in the U.S., trying to figure out, I think, what he wants to do next. And eventually... Gunther Steiner meets with Gene Haas and one of his associates at like a steakhouse. They're kind of saying, well, entering F1 is expensive. We don't know how to do it. He says, hey, you kind of just buy parts from other teams or whatever, you know, and that's how we kind of scrape this whole thing together. And eventually that's how the whole thing starts. It's Gunther and Gene start working together. They build this thing from the ground up. They have this sort of interesting relationship where, Gene as a millionaire, but not billionaire, but as a very rich person, whenever he's dissatisfied, he calls, Gunther very upset. And then Gunther has to sort of smooth things over and be like, Gene, I know people fucked things up. Like, it's fine. Like, we'll figure it out. So that's kind of their dynamic.
So when you're working with someone like Gunther Steiner, he might be a little bit harsh, but he's going to tell you exactly what he thinks and what's on his mind.
A lot of the people I talked to, they did say, we like Gunther Steiner's leadership style.
Alanis King and Elizabeth Blackstock, again.
If you look at Formula One, Formula One is about politics. If you look at Christian Horner is very sly. He does what he can to benefit himself and his team, but he's not straightforward about it. He's very politicky. Gunther Steiner will come up to you and he'll just say, what's going on? Fix it.
All right. Well, we haven't discussed who's driving.
Yes.
That's pretty important. Who is driving these Haas cars?
Okay. Well, remember when I said we'd come back around to this Ural Collie, Nikita Mazepin story?
Yes.
All right. All right. So first driver we're going to talk about, old Haas veteran, Kevin Magnussen.
Yes.
All right. So
sounds interesting, this guy.
So, okay. So I'm going to start with Kevin's background and career, and then we'll kind of a merge will happen where we'll get to present day of how or why we're kind of, I'm chuckling as I talk about Kevin Magnussen's time at Haas. So K-Mag, he's called K-Mag often. He's a Danish racing driver. He very much gets a reputation, which we'll talk about, as a, you know, the bad boy or a bad boy of the F1 grid.
Hülkenberg's having to go around the outside again, trying to hang on in there. And it has to be said, Kevin Magnussen did not leave him any room whatsoever.
His father, Jan Magnussen, also a racing driver. He competed in a little bit of F1 in the 90s, but was not very good. Kevin quickly distinguishes himself when he starts his karting career when he's young, eventually makes his way through the lower formulas, and he's a member of McLaren's Young Drivers Program during that time. So in 2014, he gets his start at McLaren, and his season goes, it's okay. Unfortunately, though, the next year, he's demoted by the team because the team signs Fernando Alonso. So Kevin is out, Fernando is in. Obviously, he's upset about this, and after, again, a little more bouncing around, he does a one-season stint at our good friends Renault, now Alpine. And then eventually, at the start of 2017, he comes to Haas.
Okay.
I will say now, in present day, he's 29, almost 30 years old. So he's pretty young. So K-Mag is at Haas for 4 years. Basically, it's just, as we've established, kind of a weird team and a weird time. He has some real triumphs. He has some real issues.
Kevin, the first one to come and see is me, please.
Sure, no problem.
It is also during this time that we get the iconic K-Mag saying,
"Suck my balls, mate."
Kevin is like kind of bitter for a lot of reasons.
I'm picking up that vibe a little bit.
Yeah.
That guy's kind of an asshole, but I dig it.
Elizabeth Blackstock, again.
Kevin Magnussen is kind of a fan favorite driver, but like not in the Daniel Ricciardo sense of like, this is a person with a lot of personality who's really friendly and nice and you want to hang out with him. It's more like Kevin Magnussen is like the sassy version, very, very like Viking-esque. He's got like that, I don't know, almost a masculinity about him that's very funny. But he's a good driver. He's an aggressive driver, I think.
News has broken, and it's broken down at Haas.
Kevin Magnussen will not be staying at Haas next season.
When he ends his time there, he's pretty quick to be kind of rude about Haas. He comes out with a memoir during the off season where he says everyone sucks.
I remember reading it and just like my jaw was dropped. Like, I cannot believe this man just said all of this.
During the off season between 2021 and 2022, Haas debuts the car and he actually posts a meme on his Instagram making fun of it. So by and large, everyone kind of had shuffled him out the F1 door. It was just assumed he's yet another guy trying to figure out what he's going to do post F1. And then in February of 2022,
what seemed unthinkable in the 21st century is now underway.
Russia invades Ukraine.
Oh my God.
And every single sports organization in the world, as we know, is freaking out over what to do about Russian athletes, Russian coaches, and Russian sponsorship.
Politically, the thing is a mess.
Yeah, it's a geopolitical disaster. And so F1, of course, very quickly is getting questions about this left and right, as is Haas.
The geopolitical issues that go on in the world kind of get ignored by Formula One, especially when you've got so many Saudi Arabian oil companies that it was like, I could see them, you know, sticking with Ural Collie. Well, they did not.
It also doesn't help that no one likes Ural Collie. No one likes the Mazepin father-son duo. Right. Everyone hates Nikita. And he finished last in the championship in 2021.
That's a pretty simple decision.
Exactly, yeah. So it's already, I think Haas almost, given the speed at which they made this all happen, it's pretty obvious that they too were kind of ready for it.
Yeah.
So like right in the middle of preseason testing, they got rid of him.
Literally overnight, you know, news comes out. The next day, you know, Haas is like, okay, we're going to take the Ural Collie branding off.
Wow.
Yeah, like immediately.
Wow.
He formed his own little coalition of canceled athletes because apparently it was a personal slight, not a geopolitical issue that got him cut.
I have decided to make a foundation that will be supporting athletes that have lost their chance to compete in a sport at the highest level because of a non-sporting decision. We will be providing jobs, financial support, psychological and legal aid in case the athletes wish to debate their position. The foundation will be called We Compete as One.
Meanwhile, then, Kevin Magnussen is hanging out, having a good time during motorsports general offseason when he gets a phone call from his old boss, Gunther Steiner, saying, hey, you want to come back and race in Formula One?
Russia invaded Ukraine.
Our shitty driver that everyone hates and his terrible father had to leave. And so Kevin Magnussen, being the very smart guy he is, says, sure, I would do that. I would like a multi-year contract.
Unbelievable.
So he goes from being ousted from F1 to now being guaranteed on the grid, barring a performance issue, for at least a couple years.
I love it. This is awesome for him and his family. I hope his feet were up on a chaise lounge and they called and he's looked at his wife and smiled and says, we're back in the money.
We had only 7 days to the next test, to the second test basically of the season. Kevin knows the team. The team knows Kevin. Kevin was integral part of the team.
So it's a no-brainer.
I'm glad he didn't, you know, put two middle fingers up on his way out of there and, you know, break his desk and say, I hate all you guys. It's probably smart not to burn the bridge.
The funny thing is, he kind of did, but they still love him. Like, they still were like, K-Mag's going to come back. Like, I don't know. Like I said, it works for Haas. It probably wouldn't work for any other team. Yeah. But for Haas, they're like, okay. They don't want to test another new person. They already had a terrible season with two rookies. Yeah.
Everybody knows hiring and training somebody new is more of a headache than taking someone that was doing a decent job before.
And also, to this point, Kevin knows that he's really lucked out here. So he starts towing the party line a little bit. He's like, I'm really excited to be back at Haas. We're like, you did not feel that way literally 2 months, like a month ago, but okay.
Yeah. This is an endearing story.
It's endearing. And he's such a character that it's sort of like, this is the most bizarre thing. So I won't go into fully Kevin's 2022 season, but Haas already, people are excited. They had this awful car in 2021. They basically didn't develop their car. They said, we're going to put all of our money and efforts into our new regulation car.
Right.
So everyone's waiting with bated breath to see how the new Haas car is. They've built this up for over a year now, and they basically took all of the Ural-Kali Russian money and then got to spend it on developing a car and then dropped both the sponsor and the driver.
This is such a great story because there's not a lot of positive that comes out of Russia invading Ukraine.
Yeah.
And this is one of those little feel-good sports stories that's like, oh, good, someone got a second chance.
Exactly. And then on top of that, we get to the first race in Bahrain. Kevin Magnussen in a Haas, who again, they didn't score a single point in 2021. He ends up in P5.
Kevin, that was some fucking Viking comeback. Fucking great. I cannot believe it.
Thanks, Gunther.
Thank you.
Man.
Thank you.
Fuck. Guys, man, I can't believe this. Fucking hell.
You see Kevin's wife, and he has an infant daughter came, and his wife obviously has seen him through everything. Is just also losing her mind. His daughter is just like smiling because she doesn't know what to do, and she's a baby, but she's just like, everyone is so excited.
He scored points in three of the first four races, which was something that Haas has not done in 2 years. So it was very much a, oh my gosh, is this a comeback? Is the team doing better? Is this like, you know, are we going to have them back competing for fifth place? It's a very solid midfield team, especially now that we've had these massive regulations changes that have shaken everything up. Well, not really. As the season has gone on, there's been a lot more unreliability. We've had a lot more drama going on, and it hasn't exactly gone as nicely as I think a lot of people predicted with that fifth place finish.
Mechanical problems affecting the Haas.
Died on him, hasn't it?
Sorry, man. You were on it.
It's been kind of downhill since then.
So K-Mag is back, and we got this other driver.
You might recall that all the way back in episode one, we were discussing the sport of Formula One. I asked you what you knew about Formula One. Michael, what do you know about Formula One racing? And the only thing you could tell me was there was this Michael Schumacher guy who was a big fucking deal, and he's super rich, and that was about it. I think that was only it.
That was the only name I knew.
And we come full circle.
Things have changed. Oh, now we're back full circle.
Yeah. To the other Schumacher we have to talk about, his son Mick.
Oh my gosh. Unbelievable.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Almost as quick as Nikita Mazepin's Formula One career.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
So Mick Schumacher, it's interesting because Michael Schumacher came from humble beginnings. That's a huge part of his story. Mm-hmm. He used to work on his own karting cars and kind of worked his way up. Mick obviously is in a very different boat.
Right.
Having one of the most famous fathers in the world from an athletic perspective.
I would advise him to not get into racing, but I think we're too late on that.
Yep. So Mick he's only in his early 20s, and I think the only real big thing to know about Mick or that I think contextualizes him, this is a guy who has spent his entire life with the weight of his father's legacy on his shoulders.
Correct.
And to make matters worse,
champion auto racer Michael Schumacher is fighting for his life tonight after a skiing accident yesterday in the French Alps.
And has been kind of not seen by the public since. We don't really know his health status. We just know it's very not good.
Holy shit. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh, and if all of that wasn't bad enough, Mick was there when the freak ski accident happened. So on top of the fact that his dad is his hero, his role model, he's used these words to describe him, his dad's not doing well health-wise. Or he's just not as, you know, something's going on.
We don't
on
know anything that's happened. I mean,
yeah, basically, we don't know.
He hasn't been photographed or
he hasn't been seen outside of his like Swiss compound in a decade.
Is he paralyzed? Like,
we have no idea.
Holy shit. That's nuts.
So, yeah. So no one knows the full story. Mm-hmm. But way back when, before all of that, Mick decides very early on that he does like racing. He's obviously been around race cars in the race garage his entire life. Mm-hmm. He starts karting around 8 or 9 years old in the late 2000s. And he actually originally drove under his mother Corinna's maiden name, Betch. They were trying to not give as much attention to him.
Yeah.
He was a kid.
I thought that was smart.
Yeah. And he's still very close with his mother, actually, which is really sweet. Mm. And the funny thing about this whole like racing under his mom's, like everyone's aware this is like Michael Schumacher's son, but it's like the worst kept secret. And eventually, like the local press does start covering that Michael Schumacher's son under this other name is like karting.
I get it. And I think it shows some intelligence and awareness of their situation.
Yeah. It's a weird one. Yeah. So like he wants to kart. They know he's under a lot of pressure. Yeah. Everyone's already paying attention.
Yeah.
He proceeds to eventually work his way into the junior formula categories. I will say there's a similar pattern that emerges, which is that Mick takes a little time to warm up. Mm-hmm. So if you look through his racing results over the years, his first seasons are usually typically kind of mediocre, not horrifically mm-hmm. bad, but mm-hmm. like not anything mm-hmm. to write home about. And then he kind of comes alive more in his second season mm-hmm. with a lot of teams and mm-hmm. a lot of these categories. So
makes sense.
He never really quite hits the ground running.
Yeah.
He's pretty private, very quiet. And if you listen to him in interviews, he's very careful with his words. So mm-hmm. he'll take the pause before answering a question, or he'll kind of think before he speaks.
Sounds like someone who's grown up around media.
Someone around media has also seen what it can do when you give too much to
right.
people.
Right.
So he's never mean or anything like that. And he's actually said he actually looks forward to doing the press. During an interview he did with F1 as a podcast, Beyond the Grid, he had said, he's like, no, I look forward to every part of F1, including, you know, the media, the fans. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really excited about all of it, which is nice. But he is very careful. His big thing that he took away from his dad, and he's talked about this, is he is nice to everyone on the team. And he never gives anyone a reason to say something bad about him.
My family's somewhere there in 10, 11, 12. You can give them a wave.
I'm on it.
Mick Schumacher and his race engineer, Gary, become almost a meme. Like, there are YouTube videos of, like, all of these cute radio interactions between Gary and
right,
Mick.
Right.
So you have, like, Nikita yelling at people on the radio, right, juxtaposed with right. Mick and Gary. You know, Gary will be like, Mick, great job. You really tried hard.
Good job, Mick. Very tricky race. Your pace was excellent there in that last stint. So see you soon.
Again, he's very clear that his dad instilled this in him, that you have to, you know, make sure you treat everyone with respect in the garage, and that's a key part of if you're going to be a race car driver.
Seems also like a smart move, considering they're making the car you drive.
You don't want people to hate you.
That are also tightening the bolts.
Exactly. Really sweet guy who's trying very hard not to right. rock the boat, not to give anyone a reason to be upset with him. But yeah, so I guess on the racing front, yeah, it's been a little bit dicier for Mick. He was in sort of an interesting position last year. It's rare that U of teams take on two rookies at the same time, because rookies, as we've discussed, can be messy
yeah. Yeah.
and not do what you want. So Nikita, he's spinning constantly. He's crashing. He's blaming everyone. He's yelling on the radio. His dad's always in the garage yelling at everyone, et cetera, et cetera. Mick also has his struggles, right? He does push to trying to get into Q2. He almost gets into the points in a couple of wacky races where a ton of drivers are taken out. And he does have these a couple moments of brilliance.
Hamilton this time has got slightly ahead going into turn four. He's trying to hang it out round the outside. Schumacher just slams that door on him.
What's interesting about 2022 is all of a sudden Nikita, who everyone universally despises,
yeah.
is gone.
Gone.
And not only that, he gets a veteran, experienced teammate who is specifically experienced on this team, who's older than him, and, you know, starts off the whole, you know, the whole shebang with this iconic, amazing comeback,
right.
you know, storyline from race one. So completely the different situation than last year.
Yeah.
And he's trying
yeah.
to figure out, I think, okay, yeah. crap, you know, last yeah. year it was easy to be better than, like, the worst guy who should not have been on the grid.
Right.
Now I have a guy who has not only been on the Formula One grid a lot, but is also known for getting elbows out,
yeah.
being a little bit dicier at times, and has no problem sort of establishing and asserting his dominance.
I think when you have this situation where there's a driver who's doing better, it kind of puts that negative light on someone like Mick Schumacher.
That's Elizabeth Blackstock again.
And I think Schumacher is kind of in a very negative place because he can't really win. He doesn't have Formula One experience aside from this very bad team that's done very poorly. And, like, that's really hard. How do you know what a good car is when you've actually never driven one? Whereas Magnussen has been in Formula One for a very long time. He's driven good cars. He's driven bad cars. He's done really well with Haas, and he's also done really poorly with Haas. So it kind of – you've got this person who knows how to combat kind of a bad car, and then you've got Mick Schumacher, who doesn't have that experience and doesn't have that on his resume. So it kind of is making him look, I don't want to say incompetent, but he just doesn't look like the prodigy I think people were expecting him to be when he came into Formula One.
What Mick Schumacher has going for him with his name is that people will give him a little more time.
A little more time. He gets a little more personal sponsorship.
Yeah.
And he's also been smart and been nice to everyone.
Yeah.
So on top of the fact
yeah.
that the name helps, it's like, okay, he's a Schumacher. He's a nice Schumacher.
Yeah.
We want to help
yeah.
a nice Schumacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Mick and Kevin. Okay. Probably, I think, like I said, a chaotic pairing, but not because they are chaotic to each other, but just very different ways of getting into F1.
Yeah.
And in Kevin's case, coming back to F1. So,
if you want to root for a team that cannot go downhill anymore, that cannot get any worse, that can only go uphill from here, you go for the Haas Formula One team. I love me some backmarkers. If you are three laps down, you probably have a little piece of my heart.
You know, I think Elizabeth makes a great point here.
That was Alanis King again.
In 2019, they scored 28 points. And then we're like, yeah, there's no way they're going down from here. In 2020, they scored 3 points. And you're like, well, there is no way we are going down from there. And then in 2021, they scored 0. So they cannot physically go down any further.
If you want someone to root for, that they have the potential to do okay, that when they score a point, it is a very big day to celebrate the little things, you want to go for the Haas team.
I would throw a couple bucks on Haas. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I would throw money on them way before an Alpine or an Aston Martin or... I like Alfa Romeo. So, yeah, I mean, this wouldn't be all of my eggs in one basket, but I like this driving duo, and I like that Kevin has a second chance type vibe. You got to be careful with people with second chances. They go hard.
Yeah, he already went hard to begin with.
Yeah, I like this team.
Yeah.
I like this team.
Yeah.
I have never watched a Formula One race.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen 5 seconds of a Formula One race. I like Kevin Mack. Maybe when I watch him race, I'll go, oh, this guy's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I like him, and I'm excited to watch all these people race. And it's not their fault that William Story gave him, you know, it's not like they have anything to do with that, I don't think. But I think this is an interesting team.
Ten teams down.
Oh, man, we did all 10.
Before we hear who you're officially picking for your team and your driver, we're going to actually let you watch at long last a Formula One race.
You guys can let me go to the bathroom, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, time to take a break.
No, I mean, great, because you can't tell anything until you watch.
It's one of those, it's a catch-22 in that letting you watch too early, you'd be just kind of confused.
Yeah.
Or maybe you'd be one of those dads who always ask questions, like, even though they haven't watched like 80% of the movie. My dad does this constantly.
Right.
It's one of those things where I think a lot of stuff wouldn't have made sense without the context. But now that you know it, it's like, okay, let's actually see these guys go out there and do something.
I can't wait to watch, for real.
And so then after, at long last, after all of that, you will finally make your choice.
What if after all this, I come back and I'm like, hung jury. We got to redo it.
There's got to be a clause in your contract against that.
Season two.
I promise to Yohai, to Lily, to Rob, and to every one of our listeners, I will pick a team to support. I'm going to need a list of teams and a list of drivers.
Hey, this is producer Yochai here. Just quickly before we sign off, speaking of breaks, I just wanted to tell our listeners that we are going to be taking a little break while we work on our big finale. But stay tuned to the feed anyway, because we're going to have a little something to tide you over.
This has been Choosing Sides, F1, a production of Sports Illustrated Studios and iHeartRadio. The show is hosted by Michael Costa and Lily Herman. This episode was produced by Lily Herman and our senior producer, Yochai Maital, who also did the sound design. At the Cutting Room Studios, we are recorded by engineer Rob O'Leary II. Mastering by Sella Weisblum. Max Miller is the executive producer, and Brandon Getches is head of audio at SI Studios. At iHeartRadio, Sean Titone is our executive producer. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to us and leave a review. And if you want more F1 goodness, follow us on Instagram at ChoosingSidesF1.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, Oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.